In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's Gospel, we hear about an encounter between our Lord and His disciples. And it follows upon His telling them, foretelling to them, what was going to happen to Him. What He was on His way to accomplish, on His way to His passion, to be unjustly delivered up to the chief priests and the scribes, condemned to death, delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, spit upon, killed. And yet, when two of His disciples approach Him, it's as if they had not even heard what He was talking about. Or maybe they just heard the last part, when He said, after 3 days, He will rise again. Two of His disciples come to Him, and after He's told them all these terrible things that He is to suffer, they say, can you do for us a favor? Well, He's going to be doing lots of favors for them. But they are, though I'm sure their motives are mixed, they certainly want to be at His side to support Him. But also they have in mind that they want position for themselves, that they want status, that they want to make their parents proud. In another of the Gospels, it's their mother who comes to Jesus and asks for this favor. So Jesus doesn't react in anger. He reacts with, you know, His infinite patience, which He always extends to us in our double-mindedness. And He says to them, you do not know what you are asking. Because to stand beside Christ, to be His lieutenants at His left hand and His right hand, means following Him where He is going. As He says elsewhere, it means taking up your cross and following Him. It means enduring the same kinds of suffering and affliction and hardship that He went through. Because in this world, to be faithful to God means to suffer. The world is so geared against faithfulness to God, that when we do follow God, when we try to be obedient, when we try to be faithful, it's always swimming upstream. It's always done with difficulty. Jesus says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink, to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And that He refers to is to drink the cup of sufferings, to be baptized with the baptism of blood, of martyrdom, of death for the sake of God that He is going to endure. And they say, we are able. Now, this is certainly, on one hand, I'm sure it's a genuine desire to suffer for His sake, but remember that these are the same disciples who will later leave Him when He is arrested, that they will abandon Him. So the spirit is willing, but we will discover that the flesh is weak. Now, after this encounter, when our Lord tries to correct the mentality of these two disciples with regard to what leadership, what service to Christ, or, you know, being His lieutenants, being at His left and right hand, what that entails, the other disciples hear about what happened and they're jealous. So we see here, it's not just James and John who are wrongheaded in their pursuit of status. All of the other disciples had the same thing in mind, and James and John just beat them to the punch. And Christ hears that. He understands what's going on, and so he takes this as a teachable moment, as an opportunity to help all of them understand what leadership means, because all of them are called to be leaders in the church. These are the great apostles. And if they don't understand what their leadership role entails, they could derail the whole effort. The church could be set on a bad foundation, on a cracked foundation, and therefore, you know, fall apart, collapse. So, Jesus, hearing these complaints from them and wanting to set them straight, he calls them to himself. And he says to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." You know, imagine as sort of one of the greatest examples of this, the pharaohs of Egypt. You know, we admire the pyramids as one of the great wonders of the world. Well, the pyramids were built by the pharaohs as a monument to their own egos. And if you've ever read about what it took to build those pyramids, giant blocks of stones. This is before we had, of course, they didn't have heavy machinery, but they had hardly any kind of tools that we would depend on for such an effort. Masses of people were employed, peasants, you know, were employed shaping these huge blocks of stones and carting them, you know, by hand, by brute strength, over great distances, setting them one on top of another to build these gigantic artificial mountains as memorials to these great men. And so the Pharaoh, he sort of, in terms of society, sits at the top of a pyramid and everyone else is below him, right? And everyone else is supporting him and everyone else is enabling whatever whim he has. Everyone else is sort of crushed beneath the weight of his ego. That is how those who rule over the nations lord it over their subjects. But Christ says, "It shall not be so among you." Your leadership has to be different. In fact, their leadership has to be exactly the opposite of what we see with the rulers of the nations. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Christ himself came to serve all mankind by redeeming us. This new order requires that, you know, however far up the chain of leadership you want to go, the more you have to serve and the more people you have to serve. Really, it's like an upside down pyramid. You know, in that other pyramid, everybody at the bottom was supporting the, you know, all the rest of society. And then the next level was supporting everybody above them. And everybody was supporting the Pharaoh, the king, the Lord. But in the church, we have an inverted pyramid. And Christ, who is the tip of that pyramid, he's supporting the weight of the entire structure upon himself, taking all of our burdens upon himself and caring for us, serving us by giving his everything for our sakes. And sort of the further up you want to get in that chain of leadership, the further down you go on the pyramid, supporting more the weight of more and more people's needs, their burdens, and their cares. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not a lesson just for the apostles, but for us as well. Because the more, it is admirable, even though the apostles didn't understand what they were seeking, it is admirable to want to join Christ in leading this work of salvation that he is accomplishing in the world. But they didn't understand what it meant. We, if we want to follow Christ, if we want to follow his example of bringing this world, leading this world to God, we need to serve others, to serve more and more. And we can because we know that at the bottom of that pyramid, Christ is supporting us. Even when we don't feel like we have anything more to give, we know that he is there to give us what we need in order to serve others. So brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go forth in this final week of Lent as we prepare for Holy Week and put into practice this servant leadership that our Lord teaches us both by his word and by his example. To him be glory, honor, and worship together with his Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.